lost all your magic. You think that it's tragic that no one will come cry for you. Well, your sexism's a broken record, record, record. Been screeching for 10,000 years.
This song you're hearing was released in 1973. The defining hit from the self-titled album, Lavender Country. The song title is one I can't say on the air. After all, a DJ lost her job for playing it all those years ago. But as you might have noticed, it takes on sexism and sexuality. It was a very progressive concept at the time. Here's the singer-songwriter Patrick Haggerty. He explains the meaning behind the name Lavender Country.
Before the rainbow was the gay symbol, which really didn't come around until Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition in the early 1980s, and then the gay movement kind of co-opted that. Before that, lavender was our symbol. Everybody knew it.
Haggerty was the driving force behind what's considered the first album by a gay country band. He had help through the Gay Community Social Services of Seattle. In recent years, the album has been re-released by a label in North Carolina. That state famously passed a law last year banning transgender people from using the bathroom that signifies the gender they identify as, which thrust the state into the national spotlight for what many saw as discriminatory legislation. Haggerty went on to headline Hopscotch Musical Festival in the state. He says organizers got in touch with him
after the bill passed and said, "We were interested in you before. Now we have to have you. What is it going to take?" They are who I'm talking about. They want to do battle with Lavender Country. The guys who are running Hopscotch want it known all over North Carolina that they're fighting the governor about this bill as Hopscotch Music Festival. And they're in the fight publicly. And they know exactly where to go to get some music material to fight with. And it's Lavender Country.
Getting to this point has been decades coming. Haggerty has devoted his life's work to activism and social change. He says he was lucky to have parents who supported his sissy ways.
My upbringing was rural, 1950s, Washington State on the Canadian border. It was as typical a rural 1950s community as you can imagine. Lots of racism, lots of sexism, lots of homophobia. Tons everywhere. My parents, while I was a child, were dairy tenant farmers. And we lived on a beautiful farm that we didn't own, running a dairy farm.
And there's a really lovely StoryCorps story out there that people should check out where you talk about your father. So can you explain your relationship with him?
My father handled me so lovingly and so insightfully that I had no comprehension that he was even exceptional. But he was. And I didn't really realize how exceptional he was until he was dead in the grave. I was a complete sissy. I played girl games all the time. I wore long blonde baling wire hair pieces so I could play with my sisters. I sang show tunes. I wore ballerina outfits. I ran for head cheerleader. I competed in a 4-H demonstration contest against 300 girls and me and won. I ran the man to the edge of sanity with my sissiness. And he never chided me. He never corrected me. He never embarrassed me. He never hit me. He never said, "Don't do that." He never said, "I'm ashamed of you." He was an incredible gift. Put me light years ahead of most other sissies in the world. It really did.
Haggerty went on to college and joined the Peace Corps, which led to a major milestone.
It's a very painful chapter in my life, and it's sort of the defining event of my life. I was had graduated from college. I was smart. I had a real nice GPA. I was like petty bourgeois bound into academia or whatever. And I joined the Peace Corps for all the reasons that kids joined the Peace Corps in 1966, mostly liberal do-gooder stuff. I fell in love with my housemate, a straight man, and we decided that it was a really terrible idea for us to continue to live together. I didn't want to be sleeping in the same bedroom with him. We were dealing with the issue that I was gay and he was straight and that I was in love with him, and we were trying to handle it maturely. But the Peace Corps office in Calcutta found out what was going on. They sent the doctor down there. They said, "What's going on?" I told the doctor what was going on, and they kicked me out of the Peace Corps the next day.
Soon after that experience in 1969, the Stonewall Riots broke out in New York City, which are considered by many to be the most important development leading to the gay liberation movement and the modern fight for LGBTQ rights. Hagerty was radicalized. He decided to come out, and he moved to Seattle, where he joined the movement.
It was that time that my radical politics began to formulate, and I changed view of who I was from a petty bourgeois academic aspirant to a radical Marxist-Leninist organizer. The repression of human sexuality starts with women being seen as property. That's the core of it. And that's where the classical Western sexual repression, need for sexual repression, comes from: women as property. And all of the stuff that surrounds that, and making sure that you're the father, and if you want to be sure you're the father, that means that the woman can't have sex with anybody else, and then a whole list of sexual repressive rules start get stamped into the society and culture, and they're all for the super exploitation of women. That's why we have sexual repression. And I came to understand all that and said, "F*** this."
The hunger for social change that was so present made for great fodder for an album. Hagerty, who had been gifted a guitar by his father as a young child, has always considered music to be a huge part of his life. He tells me about the title track for the album, Lavender Country.
There was a person in my life, and her name was Sandra Otaka, and she was brilliant. She was 18, and she was Japanese-American, raised in a very traditional Japanese community in Chicago. And she lived in the little collective that I was living in for several years. And we were supporting her. This was in 1973 when I was making Lavender Country. We were supporting her to do transsexual surgery and raising money for her breast implants and for her to go to Stanford to get the operation and blah, blah, blah. I was doing that activity. When I was making Lavender Country, I was living with Sandra Otaka, and she was phenomenally brilliant and a huge mover and a shaker in the early Seattle gay movement. And Lavender Country is loaded with transsexual imagery. And Lavender Country is for Sandra. It's about Sandra. If I hadn't had Sandra in my life, I never would have been able to write the song Lavender Country. Lavender Country is a song about where your gender and sexual orientation don't matter.
There's nothing left but hope in your weary sexist role. I'd trade them old PJs for a Goodwill negligee. Y'all come out, my dears, to Lavender Country. Y'all come out and make yourselves to home. It don't matter here who you love or what you wear, 'cause we don't blues. Y'all come out, my dears, to Lavender Country. And don't you bother about your sissy ways. When you wear your frilly blouse to the people's outhouse, the folks will hang around in pee for days. When you wear your frilly blouse to the people's outhouse, the folks will hang around in pee for days. Bye.